Starting at the top of Kuftet Umin Aleph, just to review what we've gotten into so far, the Gemara is trying to determine from Parshat Yerusha, what's the order, what's the proper order of how Yerusha is distributed. So the Gemara yesterday tested out a number of different parties, the first of which was a son versus a father. There the Gemara concluded clearly a son precedes father because Akrov Akrov Kotem. The second thing the Gemara tested is a son versus a brother. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that a son takes precedence over a brother because the son is the linchpin in the determination of the rights of the brother, which is Yibum, and that's really what would have made the brother closer. And therefore, our conclusion is son before father and son before brother. Now again, what we haven't addressed, and these are the others that are mentioned in the parsha, we haven't addressed Bat, daughter. Where does daughter fit into this picture? Number two is father himself. Where does he fit into the picture? Is he before or after the brothers? We know the relative relationship. We know that son precedes father and son precedes brother. We don't know where father fits into that picture. And of course, uncles are the last piece of the puzzle. Where do the uncles fit in? And again, one of the major issues is that the parsha is not in order. Since the parsha is not in order, we have opened up all sorts of possibilities as to what the order really could be. Had the parsha be simply in order, then there's not much to talk about because the Torah lays out for you a hierarchy of who should be first and who should be last. But once we say it's not in order, you open up the possibility that maybe anybody can be for anybody in the list, and that's what the Gemara is going to continue to test here. So Gemara says, "Ema Sheiro Zehav." Let's say that Sheiro means Av, right? That means that's why the father is included in Yerusha. Mamei Sheav Kodem Labat. So now the Gemara wants to propose the possibility that even though the son would precede the father, that the daughter would not precede the father. Why is that? Because in essence, a daughter has nothing where she stands in place of her father. I mean, as opposed to a son who stands in place when it comes to Yehud, when it comes to Ste'achuza, when it comes to Eved Ivri. In all those cases, the son steps in the shoes of his father. In all those cases, that is not true for a bat. That is not true for a daughter. So now that if the daughter has no specific halachic rights where she can step into her father's shoes, maybe the father should take precedence over the daughter. So Yachol Yagdim the Ben. So the Gemara says, okay, you think the father before the Ben? Tamalomar Karov, Karov, Karov Kodem. So that was what we learned yesterday, that whoever's closer, right, makes more sense that they come first. So that's for the Ben. So we have the son comes before the father, and the father maybe now should come before the daughter. The Gemara says, no. Cave under the Yibum Ben Ubatki Hadade Ninhu. When it comes to Yibum, a son and a daughter are equal. I mean that they are both considered Zera, in the sense that they're considered Zera that do not require Yibum. Therefore, the Inyan Nachla Nami Ben Uvat Kadadi Ninhu. So too, when it comes to Nachla, a son and a daughter will be on the same plane. So if they're on the same plane for Yibum, then they're going to be on the same plane for Nachla. If that's the case, then both a son and a daughter will precede the father. Meaning that if it comes to Yaakov, right, it would be Reuven and Dina would have precedence over Yitzchak. Right, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. The only question you have is,
why is the Ben before Abad? Because in the Pasuk, he's written before.
He is written before in the Pasuk, plus he has Chuyot, we know already. He has Chuyot where he steps into his father's shoes, which the daughter does not have. So even without the fact that it was written in the Pasuk, I mean that it says, V'im Ishkemut Uvein Einov, and then it says, "V'raitem enachlato lebito." So there, it's clear that the ben is first, and then the bat.
Why don't we remove from Yibum and not from Ste'achuza or some other thing?
So the answer to that question is that we do. We're taking both. But that the bat is before the father, but she won't be before the ben. That's exactly what we're doing. We're saying there's certain things that she doesn't have zechuyot in, and therefore she's in the hierarchy. The son comes first. She's not on peer or plateau with the son. But she's still before the father, because she does have zchuyot where the father does not have zchuyot. Now, the question really that has to be answered is, why is Yibum, how do we know by Yibum that a daughter is included? Where do you know that from? So now, usually we say Uvein en lo, right? So the Gemara Dashan is that Ayin Alev. Make sure that he doesn't have anybody. But that we already need. Why? Because you have to include Mamzer. That a Mamzer, the Gemara uses that Uvein en lo, Ayin Alev, to see that he has no offspring. Gemara says that that refers to a Mamzer. So now, how are you going to know about a daughter? So the possibility is that you learn out also there a daughter, or Tosfos introduces a possibility which seems more likely, which is, Prat v'zeh she'ein shmo machui. Right, the whole problem of Yibum is that we're afraid that the name of the mate will be wiped out. But that's not true. If he has offspring, if he has a daughter, then his shmo is not nimche, it's not wiped out. So the existence of a daughter, right, is deals with or addresses the problem of shlo yimachesh shmo, that his name won't be wiped out. So you can ask, well, doesn't a mamzer do the same thing? The answer is no. That is not true. By zera pasul, that might actually be shmo machoy. That might be a problem. So therefore, you need a specific limud by mamzer, but by daughter, she'll be included because of shlo yimachesh. Now, based on this, now we have a hierarchy which is son, daughter, that we know come before the father. And again, son comes before the brother. So now the Gemara says, okay. Let's say that the father comes before the uncles, right? Which would make sense, right? That Yitzchak would precede any of his brothers. I would think he'd go before the actual brothers. I mean, should Yitzchak precede Shimon and Levi? Is that the case here? I'm sorry, not Shimon and Levi. Should he precede Esav? Right? Should Yitzchak precede Esav over here? Is that really the case? So Tamad Omar, Hakarov Kodem. Right, so that the one who's closer goes first. So what's the answer here? What does it mean that the Karov Kodem? The one who's closer goes first means that it should be the Achim. Should be the brothers. Who is closer, right? If I look at a father and brothers, who has any zechuyot or who has any connection to the niftar? The brothers who have yibum step into the shoes of, right, the individual. Yaakov's brother Esav will step into his place to do yibum. His father Yitzchak steps into his shoes for nothing, for absolutely nothing. He has no zechuyot in his son, right? In his son. Therefore, if I was to pick a karov kodem, logically, who would be first? The brothers, not the father. That would mean that Esav should precede Yitzchak. That should be the logic now. So based on that, right, we should have it be that the order will be son, daughter, right, brothers, and then father, and then uncles. Right, again, if you read the pasuk in a simple sense, that makes the most sense of how to have the logic run, which is that first you have the children, son and then daughter. Then you have the brothers, right, which were, because they perform yibum, they have some sort of sheikhut. After that, you have the father, Yitzchak. And then, well, you don't have the father, the uncles, meaning that the Yitzchak's brothers. So that would make sense. Now, the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. Aichea av lo tzrich ikra. Right, when it comes to the uncles, right, we don't need a pasuk. Why? Aichea av mikoach man ka'atu. Who did the uncles come from? Mikoach av. Meaning that without Sheiro, without the pasuk of Sheiro that teaches me father, I would not have needed any pasuk to teach me father. Why? Because I see that the uncles are there. If the uncles are there, right? Im ein achim, right? Laviv unatatim nachato the Sheiro karov eilav. So that's what we said. The uncles, the Sheiro there means father. But if I step up to the pasuk before that, right, and we say if he doesn't have achim, ein lo achim unatatim nachato the achaviv. That if he doesn't have brothers, he'll give it to the uncles. Now wait a minute. The uncles, the only relationship, or the only way their relationship connects them to this individual is through the father. So there it's obvious, without any pasuk, I would know that the father's included. If I simply to make the order like this, which is children, right, then brothers, then father, then uncles, I wouldn't need the pasuk to bring me an additional inclusion of father, to say Sheiro is father. Why? Because I would say, okay, right, children, brothers, then uncles come because of the father. So automatically, it must be father, then uncles. So what do I need a pasuk for? Kayav. If the father's alive, the uncles are going to inherit? Makes no sense. How could it be? They're going to skip over the father and give it to the uncles. That makes no sense. So the Gemara says, based on that, that would indicate that it must be that the father, the addition of Sheiro to teach you father, must give him precedence over, right, someone else. And who's that? That's the brothers. So if that's the case, now we have, it will be children, right, then father, then brothers, then uncles. But that's the whole reason. Otherwise, you don't need a pasuk. Why do you need a specific pasuk to include the father if the father is simply a derivative of knowing that the uncles get it? So the fact that the pasuk comes along and tells us Sheiro, father, means that there must be something extra that the father gets that he shouldn't get. He should be uplifted a level above which, right, he shouldn't have been before. And that is, what would that be? The brothers. The brothers should be entitled before the father because they have Ibum. Instead, we say, no, push the father up one step and he will get before the brothers. The Gemara says, wait a minute, I cry, love, maybe it didn't bother the Gemara until now, but all right. But this is the underlying premise of all the Gemara here. Is the Psukim don't say that. That's not the order. Dichtiv v'imein achim la'aviv. It says that if there are no brothers to the father, if there are no uncles, then it says you give it to Hashero, right? Hakrov elav. So the Shero should come after the uncles. Now you tell me that's not logical. Gzeres hakotuvu. That's gzeres hakotuv. Right? It's where it says cry shlo kesidran k'tive. That's the Gemara's conclusion. The Psukim are not in order. Right, so now you've opened up. Once you say the Psukim are not in order, right, then you open up the possibility, or all possibilities, which we've addressed until now, but the biggest possibility is that the father can now precede the brothers and not come after the uncles. So that would be the conclusion now of this, right, limud of the Gemara, this drasha that supposedly is the source for our Tana in the Mishnah, which is that we first have, right, children who get first, with the son taking precedence over the daughters. Then we will have father who gets, right? Yitzchak will then get it. After father will come the brothers, right? And then after the brothers will come the uncles. And that will be the order of Psukim based on the fact that the Torah had to go out of its way to give you a pasuk to include father. The fact that it gave you a pasuk to include father means that father has to step up above something that he shouldn't have. He should get rights that he shouldn't otherwise have been entitled to. That's what pushes him ahead of the brothers. Now, now we have another limud. This Tana brings it from another way, or learns this whole concept that the father precedes the brothers from somewhere else, which is the Tanya. This is what he was doresh. Ish kiyamut ubenein lo. So it says that a person who passes away and has no child, meaning that a male child, then va'avartem et nachlato debito. B'makom bat atam avir nachla min ha'av. So the term here that is used is vahavartem et nachlato. That is, nachla will pass. Vahavartem nachlato indicates some sort of passing of the nachla to an area which otherwise, number one, may not be, should either not get precedence, or, right, will cause some sort of outcome that is not true of all the other inheritors. So when we say v'havartem, right, it could have said v'natatem. In all the other cases, right, of the psukim, it says untatem. Instead, here it says v'havartem. So what's the significance, right, of avartem? So avartem sounds like we're mavrim nachala, right, that from someone who is ra'ui to yoresh min adin, the makom sheino ra'ui, someone who is not appropriate to, right, so who is that? It's from the av. So the Av should have been, right, closer, right, than the daughter. I mean, since the son is born to this individual, the father should have been closer than the daughter. Now, he's not using the limud of Yibum, so on, that was used in the previous Braisa. But the natural order should have been son, right, then father, and then daughter. So what does the pasuk come and tell you? Va'avartem et nachlato. That the bat comes first, va'avartem et nachlato. That we shift the nachla. Shifting the nachla means that even though the father should have been first, we give it to the daughter. But that means who gets va'avartem? That's only when it comes to the daughter taking precedence over the father. But that's not true of the brothers taking precedence over the fathers. Va'avartem will not work in that order. So Gemara says, b'makom bat atam avir nachla min av. V'atam avir nachla min av b'makom achim. You don't take the nachla away from the father when there are brothers there. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Why do you have to read the Gemara this way? So do you have to, why can't you read it? V'avartem et nachlato is referring to the brothers. Be'ema. B'mkom bat, atam avir nachla min achim. The daughter takes precedence over the brothers. Even though the brothers have zchut, the zchut of, what's the zchut of the brothers? The zchut of the brothers is, right, Yibum. So they should take precedence over the daughter. Right, and obviously this Tana again is not using the limud of Yibum, right, of Ben and Bat and Yibum, or the fact that Yibum only comes through the Ben and Bat. But simply, why don't we say that that's Mavir Nachla? Right. V'i Atam Mavir Nachla Min Av afilu b'makom bat. Because if you learn v'avartem nachlato means you give daughter precedence over brother, that means then that we have no limud to say that the daughter comes before the father. So in this way, according to the Tanna at this point, you would have ben, who takes first, then father, right? Meaning that Reuven, then Yitzchak, then it should have been brothers, but no, we say bat, because v'avartem nachlato, then bat goes. And then the Achim will go. Then the brothers will go, Esav will go. So according to this time, at this point in time, you'll have Ben, Reuven goes first. Then you'll have, right, father, which is Yitzchak. Then you'll have daughter, which is Dinah. And then you'll have brothers, which is Esav. That would be the order according to this Tana. And the Gemara rejects this, or the Tana rejects this. If that's the case, lo nichtov rachmana v'havartem. What do you need the pasuk of avartem at all? Why do you need it? Either you can say, what do you need avartem at all? Or you can say, the possibility is that it should have written untatem instead of avartem. Why? Because if without this pasuk, I would have naturally known that the father should precede the daughter. We just said before that the father precedes the daughter because the father is closer in relationship than the daughter is. So I would have known that naturally. So if I know that naturally, why do I need to write the word vavartem? The word vavartem includes or tries to indicate to us that there's some sort of precedence over here. So now, when we're talking about, so the other possibility is that you're telling me that a daughter should go before the brothers. So Mar says, again, that's a natural outcome. Why? Because she is Yotzei Yerecho. Right? She's a derivative of the mace. She's a daughter. A daughter, of course, should take precedence over the brothers. So had I written nothing, I would just say a karov kodem. The closest relative goes first. So let's go in order. What's the closest relative? Son is the first closest relative, then father, then daughter, then brothers. I would not need any indication from the psukim. So now already you're adding in the word vavartem. Must be that it's come to teach us, right, some sort of change, right, some sort of change in the order of what should have been the natural order. Now again, the natural order being, son, father, daughter, brothers, all of that works naturally. So the only thing that a Vartan has to do is has to come change some of that order. What would you change in that order? The only thing that you could really change in that order is father and daughter. You'd have to exchange the father and daughter. And that's what the Gemara says. Right? Ulman Naftalei, right? Meva Havartem. So, I'm sorry, no, we'll stop there. That's a new piece of the Gemara. So if that's the case, Vavartem comes to teach you that Bat takes precedence over the father. So if I do that, now I have the actual order. I come to the same conclusion as the previous Tana, which is son, daughter. Daughter I know from Vavartem, then father, then brothers. And again, according to him, that's all naturally the natural closeness of the relative. The Achi Karov goes first, except for the only thing we switched in order was Bat goes before father. So according to this Tana, the limud does not come from the fact that the father, Sheiro, means father, and therefore we have to come up with some chiddush that Sheiro means father and move him up in front of brothers, but rather it's because that's the natural relationship. A father is closer than the brother, right? And if the father is closer to the brother, that's exactly why the father should go before the brothers. The only question is a father and daughter, and over there, father should have preceded daughter, but we have the pasuk says vavartem, and therefore we switch that order. So now the Gemara asks, according to this Tana, what is this? What does he do with the word sheiro? If he doesn't need it for father, what does he do with sheiro? He needs it for the braisa sheiro zuishto. This is his wife. This teaches us that a husband takes precedence in inheriting his wife. The one who learns it out from Sheiro, that means father. What does he need the word vavartem for? He doesn't need to move. There's no lachla moving anymore. He has the order without the word vavartem. Because we need a price of habara. In all the other cases, it says the word unitatem. And over here it says havara. The only person who moves nachla from shevet to shevet is a daughter. Because her son and husband inherit her. So therefore, if she's from one shevet and marries a husband from a different shevet, then if she has children, right, those children inherit them, and those children are marked after the right, the father's shevet, so it'll move it to another shevet. Number two, if she passes away, right, without children, then her husband will inherit her. Her husband's also from a different shevet. So a bat is mavir nachala. She's the only one who is mavir nachala. So because of that, right, you don't need, that's how we know that it always goes from mishpachat av. Right, that's how we'll know that whenever it comes to knowing who is a karov, for an achla, we only follow the krovei mishpacha that come from the father's side. Why? Because the only ones who will not be mavair and achla, mishevet the shevet, is if you go after kurva through the father. If you go through kurva ta'im, then you will have mavair and achla, mishevet the shevet, by definition. Because if the mother is from a different shevet, then any relative that is a derivative of the mother will move the nachla to a new shevet. So the only person who can move nachla is the daughter. That's it. So if the daughter is the only one who can move nachla, that means that any other relative must be a relative through the father in order to prevent the movement of nachla around from shevet to shevet. Rashi Baba says also the limud here that a son will inherit his mother comes from this position of Rebbe. How do we know that a son inherits his mother? Because ve'avartem nachlato, that a bat is mavir nachala. How is a daughter mavir nachala? The only way she'll be mavir nachala is if her son inherits her, or her husband inherits her. I mean that the only way that you could have the possibility that a bat is mavir nachala is if her son or her husband inherits her. So from here you know that a mother bequeaths inheritance to her son. Again, the Gemara will learn this out possibly from another limud later on, but Rebbe will learn it from this fact that v'avartim nachlato. Now, umimai de shero ze ha'av. How do you know that shero is the av, which is, I think, who asked the question earlier today, which is, okay, fine, shero, but how do you, that's like an underlying assumption in the Gemara, that shero is av. But how do you know that? It says, no problem, dichtiv sheravichu. Right, that the, in the arayot, it says that she'er refers to the reference of she'er is to avicha. Where it says, okay, if that's the case, ema she'ero ze, hey. Right, she'ero is not unique to avicha. It says, dichtiv she'er imcha hi. Right, it says that she is the she'er of your mother. I mean, here when we're talking about arayot, we're talking about relatives or derivatives, we're talking about father, and then we use the same term, she'er, by mother. If that's the case, then why shouldn't she'ero mean mother and father? So Amarov Amarkra mi mishpachto v'yaresh uta. Right, that when it's from his family, v'yaresh uta, and he will inherit her. Mishpachto. Right, mishpachto. It's over here. V'ein menachim l'aviv, v'natetem menachto l'sheiro akro v'ilav, mi mishpachto v'yaresh uta. And you inherit her. By the way, that's one of the reasons why the other Bandamer says sheiro is wife. Because the formulation afterwards was Yeresh Ota, he'll inherit her. Her being, right, the female form. So that would indicate that Shiro is a wife. But over here, if we're saying that Shiro is the Av, it says Mi Mishpachto. Mishpachto is from his Mishpacha. So that's the answer. Yeresh Ota. Mi Mishpachet Av, Kruya Mishpacha, Mishpachet Eim, Ino Kruya Mishpacha, Tichtiv, the Mishpachotam, the Veitovotam. So when we say the word mishpacha, the word mishpacha is already defined in the Torah. What's the definition of the word mishpacha? The mishpachotam, the beit avotam. It's beit avot are classified as mishpacha, beit imot are not classified as mishpacha. So if the word mishpacha is already defined, then we know when it says, akrov elav mi mishpachto, it must be talking about the father. The father is the only one who's classified as mishpacha, the mother is not classified as mishpacha. Alright, va'aktiv. Wait a minute. Oh, we have a pasuk in Shoftim. Vayi nar mi beit lechem Yehuda. So here it's talking about Pesel Micha. In the case of Pesel Micha, there was a nar mi beit lechem Yehuda. It came from beit lechem, or mishpachat Yehuda. It was from the family of Yehuda. V'hu Levi. And he was a Levi. Whoa! It says, va'aktiv. Vayi nar mi beit lechem Yehuda, mishpachat Yehuda, v'hu Levi, v'hu Garsham. Aguf akasha. Right, it's a problem. This pasuk itself is a stira. Amarta v'hu Levi. You said he's from Levi. Alma mi Levi ati. It says it sounds like he's from Shevet Levi. Mishpachat Yehuda. Then the pasuk says Mishpachat Yehuda. Amam Yehuda ati. Sounds like he comes from Shevet Yehuda. El alav. So what's the solution? Davu ami Levi. Vimei mi Yehuda. That his father is a Levi and his mother is from Shevet Yehuda. So therefore, bekamar Mishpachat Yehuda. But that means that the term Mishpacha of Yehuda is used even for the mother's right genealogy. So over here, why is he both from Levi and Yehuda? By the way, this is a common way that the Midrash deals with certain things. For instance, when it comes to Mordechai, right? Ish Yehudi, right? And then Ishimini. So as the Torah, how do they deal with Yudah, the fact that he's from Yudah and Binyamin? So exactly that, that he was one, his father's from one, his mother's from one Shevet. So that's many times when they have a stira in which Shevet he's from, that's what the Gemara that deals with, the Midrash deals with by saying, oh, it's from one side of his family and the other side of his family. But the indication from that over here, especially where it uses the term Mishpacha, is that the mother's Mishpacha is still called Mishpacha. So Amar Rava Bar Rav Chanan, lo. Gavro de Shmei Levi. His name was Levi. That's what it means, Vahu Levi. Vahu Levi means his name was Levi. So when it says, Ihochi, Hanu de Kamar Micha, then what did Micha get all excited about? Micha's real excitement was that he has his Pesach, and now he draws in this Levi, who's a real, you know, he thinks from Levi, Levi makes him to a Kohen. So he thinks he's going to get a bracha because he's got, now he's got a real Masharet. He's got a real Masharet of the Kodesh, and now I got my real Levi here, and he's going to work the Avodah Zarah. So he says, Ataya Dati Ki Yativ Hashem Li, Hashem will be kind to me, Ki Ali La Levi the Kohen. I made a real Levi into a Kohen. So Gemara says, so why would he get excited about him making a Levi into Kohen if his name is Levi? I mean, it's one, if he's a real Levi, that's what the excitement's about. But if his name is simply Levi, what's he getting all excited about? In Ditaramalei Gavra, the Shmei Levi. That's exactly what he's excited about. The guy who showed up, his name was Levi. So now they made him into a Kohen. It's exactly, it's a Siman. So Gemara says, V'chi Levi Shmo. Is Levi really his name? How can you say that? Because in the next perek, when the Shevet Dan comes and makes off with Pesel Micha and the Kohen, what does it say? Hello, Yehonatan Shemo. It says that Yehonatan is his name. Shneamar, Yehonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe. Hu banav ayu kohanim leShevet Dani. Right? Yehonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe, hu banav, him and his children became kohanim to Shevet Dani. The Shevet Dan who heads up north, who kidnaps, basically, or walks off with the Pesel Micha at the time. They also take his Kohen along with them, and they become, this family becomes Kohanim for the Shevet Dan up in the north. So you see here that it's clear that his name is not Levi. What's his name? His name is Yonatan. So why are you calling him Levi if his name is Yonatan? Amalei, Vilitamech, you think that Pasuk is so exact? V'chi ben Menashehu? Was he also ben Menashe? You say Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe? Hello, Ben Moshe. Wasn't he really the grandson of Moshe? Dichtiv b'nei Moshe Gershom v'Eliezer. Right? That Gershom is the son of Moshe. And in the Nach, when it comes to Menashe, there it's not written normally. The Nun is Talui. The Nun is not in line with the other letters there. It's not like Menashe, but it's Moshe with a Nun hanging inside of it. So why is that? Ela mitoch she'asam maaseh Menashe, talo akatuv m'Menashe. Since he did the activities or actions of Menashe, therefore they classified him or called him Ben Menashe. So not that he's really the child of Menashe, but he is the he is a protege, right, of Menashe, even though Menashe is not alive yet, he won't be alive for many years, but he is a king of Yehuda that worshipped Avodah Zarah. So Achanami, mitok she'aseh maaseh Menashe, da'at miyuda, talo akaduv biyuda. So the same thing. Since he is already being talu him in Menashe, who comes from Shevet Yehuda, therefore the Pasuk calls him Mishpachat Yehuda. Not that he's literally from Mishpachat Yehuda, but rather, he is a protege of Menashe, and Menashe is from Shevet Yehuda. So he is also from Shevet Yehuda because his mentor is also from Yehuda. That's the solution of the Gemara. Now, the answer in the end is that this individual, Yonatan, Ben Gershom, Ben Moshe, he's really a child of Moshe. Why is he called Ben Menashe? It's because of what he did. And therefore, we don't want to assign that to Moshe, that his grandchild is Ovid of Avodah Zarah, right? And also the fact that he is like Menashe. So therefore, the Pasuk termed him as Ben Menashe and as Mishpachat Yehuda. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, from this we can see, Mikan Shetolim Et HaKilkala B'Mekulkal, that you want to say something bad about someone, or you want to Mekulkal them, you tie it to someone else who is already Mekulkal. So over here, since Menashe is going to be someone as Mekulkal, who did something wrong, who is Oved of Avodah Zarah,
or you tie it to someone
who's not already Mekulkal, but will be Mekulkal, right, in the future here, that's right. Therefore, you tie, when you want to talk about this individual who did something corrupt, you'd collect it to someone else who is corrupt. We have that by Sultan as well, right? That everybody will be Mikalke. When they want to be, say, you want to know, when they want to curse someone, they want to say something bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to you, like that woman who was a Sultan, right? The Torah terms it in the same way. So that same, or, and Menashe and Ephraim, that everybody will be Mevarech in your names. When they want to say someone should have a bracha, it should be like Menashe and Ephraim. So the same term here, so that you want to be toloi the kilkala b'mikulkal. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina mamihacha. We can learn that out from here. V'gamhu tovta ar me'ud v'oto yada acharei Avshalom. So we're talking about Adonia, right? Adonia here, who is trying to ascend to the Melucha, take over from David HaMelech, because he thinks he's next in line to be the inheritor of the king. So he goes out, and he goes, and the Pasuk testifies about him. You know why he thinks that? Because he's the second child after Avshalom. Avshalom's already dead, so he thinks he's next in line if Avshalom's dead. So, oto yalda achrei Avshalom. His mother gave birth to him after Avshalom. V'alo, Adonia ben Chagit, v'Avshalom ben Ma'acha. They don't share a common mother. Avshalom is the son of Ma'acha, right? David and Ma'acha. Whereas Adonia is the son of Chagit and David. So how could you say that she gave birth to Adonia after Avshalom? They're not talking about that. They don't have the same mother. El mitoch she'asa maseh Avshalom. But because he did the same thing as Avshalom, meaning Moreid, right, he rebels. Therefore, the Pasuk calls him like Avshalom. So basically it says they have the same mother, meaning they're of the same, right, they're the same type. They're the same derivative of the same, right, upbringing or problem, which is that they are Moreid b'malchut, that they rebel against their father. So then from there we know that again, that you put the that which is bad with someone who already is mekulka. Right? Amar Rabbi Elazar, l'olam yidbak adam b'tovim. Person should always look for yichus and stick to good people. Why? Sherei Moshe nasa bat Yitro. Moshe marries the daughter of Yitro. Yitzah mimenu Yonatan. His grandson was Yonatan, who was a kohen to Avodah Zarah for Shevet Dan. Whereas Aaron nasa bat Aminadav. On the other hand, Aaron marries the daughter of Aminadav, Achot Nachshon, right? He marries the sister of Nachshon, Nachshon ben Aminadav, right? The Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. So he marries the daughter of Aminadav, Yitzah Mimenu Pinchas, and his grandson is Pinchas. So look, if you marry somewhat good Yichus, like Achot Nachshon, then you end up with a grandson like Pinchas. You marry Bat Yitro, and then you end up with a grandson like Yonatan, right, who is a Kohen to Avodah Zarah of the Dani. Where it says, Pinchas lav mi Yitro ati? Wait a minute. Is Pinchas not also from Yitro? Wav aktiv. Belazar ben Aaron lakachlo mi binot putuyel le'oli isha. His father, meaning Aaron's son, right? Belazar takes a wife from binot putuyel. And his son is Pinchas. Who are right, very good. So my love, Adim Yitro. Shepite Magalim la Razara Zara. What does it mean, Benel Putiel? He comes from Yitro, who was Mifatim, who gave fat, right, animals to Avodah Zarah, meaning that he was Makriv Korbanot Avodah Zarah. Lo, so this week's parasha, Adim Yosef, Shepit Beit Yitro. And here it's from Yosef, who stops himself from being swayed by his master's wife, meaning that he fought off his Yetzer. Valo, this is what Shaul just quoted. Valo, in the beginning of Parshat Pinchas Hashvatim, Mvazim Oto Veomrim, they are denigrating Pinchas, Re'item Ben Putizeh, Shebein Ben Shepitem Avi Imo Agalim Avodah Zarah, whose mother's father was an Oved Avodah Zarah, Yerog Nasi B'Shevet Yisrael. He'll go ahead and kill out a Nasi B'Shevet Yisrael. They were poking fun at Pinchas. His grandfather, meaning Yitro, was Makriv Avodah Zarah. Here he comes in and starts to kill out a Nasi B'Shevet Yisrael. How could it be? That's interesting over here. The Rashbam over here quotes when it says Shepitem Avi Imo Agalim Avodah Zarah, K'dichtiv Kohen On. He calls it Kohen On. He says, now this goes against what the natural flow of the Gemara, or what's normally known in the Midrash. What the Gemara is hearing saying is that he came from Yitro. Gemara rejects this. No, he comes from Yosef. Gemara says, well, how could he come from Yosef? We have a Midrash that says that they were making fun of him, that his grandfather was Makriv Avodah Zarah. So it's clear that what are they referring back to? They're referring back to Yitro, that he was really a derivative of Yitro. Mavot Putiel really means Yitro. So that would be the explanation that he was Oved Avodah Zarah. The Rashbam says no, otherwise, which doesn't necessarily, I would say it doesn't fit as clearly into the flow of the Gemara. He says no. That how do you know, what do you mean that his grandfather was Makriv Avodah Zarah? It's Kohen On. I mean that the daughter Potipharah, who's given to Yosef, right, is Bat Kohen On. She's the daughter of Kohen On, and therefore his grandfather also was Makriv, right, the Avodah Zarah. So now, the Ella, I Avuah Dimei Mi Yosef, right, so if you have to say this, either the father of his mother was from Yosef, and imadime miyitro, and the mother of his mother was from Yitro. Or iavuadime miyitro, or the father of his mother was from Yitro, and imadime miyosef, and the mother of his mother was from Yosef. You can prove this in the pasuk. Dichtev mibnot putiel. Tarte mashma. Putiel is in plural. It should have said putael. Instead it says putiel. So since it's in the plural, it means that from two sides he came. He came from two sides. One is from Yosef and he came from Yitro. Now the problem with this limud is, wait, the whole premise of this limud is you should marry tovim like bat aminadav, nachshon, achod nachshon, you should marry because then you'll have a grandson like Pinchas. Or don't be like Moshe, who married Bat Yitro, and then ends up with a right grandson who's like Yonatan. Now, if you're going to explain that the mother of his mother, or the mother of his father, right, was from Yosef and from Yitro, or the mother of his father was from Yitro, and the father of his mother was from Yosef, in either way, you end up with the same relationship, which is that his grandparent is from Yitro. I mean, the same relationship you have that Moshe marries Bat Yitro, and ends up with Yonatan. Now you have Elazar, who's his father, marrying, right, a Bat Yitro, right, or a, somehow a derivative, and there's a grandchild who's gonna be Pinchas, or even closer, it's the father, and then the son is Pinchas. So how could you prove from here that marrying Tovim ends up with Tovim? Right, it's the other way around. So the Rashbam's solution, to the problem, is that it must be that we're talking about a door up, door revi and door chamishi, that it really means ime de ime, the mother of his mother. Right, so when it means benot putiel, when Elazar marries benot putiel, it's not that his mother's mother was from Yosef Yitro, but his mother's mother, her mother was from Yitro, or her father was from Yitro. Meaning that moving up one generation, we moved it up another generation, so now there's three generations. So that's exactly what the Rashbam indicates now. But the fact that it's one generation removed, that's better. Meaning that Moshe, who married Benot Yitro, then his grandson ends up being Yonatan. On the other hand, Aaron, who marries Achnot Nafshon or Bat Aminadav, since Elazar's son only married someone who was, again, a derivative of Bat Yitro, not as close as Moshe, therefore they had Pinchas come out of them. That's the Gemara solution. Your suggestion is that, okay, that what's wrong? I mean, we have many people who join Klal Yisrael, and they're actually the progenitors of, right, the Davidic line and the Mashiach. So Tosfos has a solution that might satisfy you, which is, he says that no, Tosfos leaves it as, he says both of them have a grandparent that's from Yitro. They both have a grandparent from Yitro. What's the difference? One is Mitzad Av, and one is Mitzad Aim. That when it's Mitzad Av, right, then it's a problem. When it's mitzad ha'im, then it's not a problem. So then, if you have, in this case, Shiyonatan ha'ya mitzad ha'av, she'ya aviv ben bat Yitro. His father was the derivative of Moshe and bat Yitro, meaning that on that side. Whereas Pinchas is mitzad ha'im. Pinchas's relationship or Pinchas's connection to Yitro was all through the mother, meaning that it was his mother was a daughter, right, of bat Yitro. He was a daughter of a daughter. So again, it only flows through the female side, and that's why it's not a problem according to Tosfos. And that would answer actually your problem. Ruta Movia, and all those that come into the line are all from the mother's side.
That's David's paternal line, huh?
What?
It's David's paternal line.
His paternal line is
the woman, the man.
Right. Oh, you're saying afterwards it becomes in, right? All right. Yeah, it doesn't solve the problem, you're right.
Plus, but there's no problem there either. Because the Davidic line actually had a
Avodah Zarah.
In other words,
all right, we'll step over here.